Sister Janet Lee has devoted all of her adult life to the service of others. She's been a teacher in the public schools. She's been involved in a variety of civic and community service activities and church leadership duties. And she's also given most of her life, a day at a time, to the cause of supporting her 7 children and her very busy husband. No public service has meant more to President and Sister Lee than their service to the students and staff and faculty of Brigham Young University. The Lees are now beginning the 4th year of their leadership for our university community, and on behalf of that community, I express our deeply felt appreciation to the Lees for the values they teach us through example, as well as the values they will teach us today and other days through precept. We'll hear first from Sister Lee.
Thank you, Bruce. Rex and I do want to warmly welcome you back to this beautiful fall semester. And now that you're somewhat settled in your classes and just about finished adding and dropping, we hope that your frustrations are beginning to subside. We have 2 students of our own here at BYU who have given their father plenty of advice about how to make things run more smoothly. So be sure to come back next semester because registration should be a piece of cake. I've been thinking a lot about your happiness lately, how to obtain it and how to hold on to it. And I have come up with a foolproof method. Let me begin with this story. My niece Molly was playing at her grandmother's house one day when she asked if she could cross the street to visit a favorite aunt. The street was not a busy one, but because Molly was only 4, she was cautioned to look carefully both ways before crossing. Always an inquisitive child, she questioned this procedure. And so her grandmother replied, "Such a little girl could easily get hit by a car, and I love you so much that I don't want anything to happen to you." Before long, Molly was back. "You lied to me," she said. "You said I would get hit by a car if I didn't look both ways." "Well, I closed my eyes and I ran back and forth and back and forth several times, and a car never hit me. You didn't tell me the truth." Today, I would like to talk about obedience. Specifically, obedience to the Lord's commandments. Just as a loving grandmother cautioned her 4-year-old child to look both ways before crossing the street, a loving Father in heaven has given us detailed instructions to ensure our happiness and our safe arrival at our ultimate destination. Yet we often question the consequences or think we can get away with taking chances. We close our eyes to some of God's commandments and cross the street of life. At such times, it appears that we might not get hurt if we obey only some of God's laws. Our minds don't comprehend answers to some of the whys of the commandments. And like a questioning child, we disobey. The Lord has said, "Keep my commandments." He didn't say, "Here, look this list over and pick out a few of these things that you think pertains to you. Or try to work on part of these things some of the time." His instructions were simple, yet direct and unqualified. "Keep my commandments." My 3-year-old granddaughter, Jordan, asks why, after almost everything I say, I realize her need to understand, and I explain as much as possible. But there are occasions when no amount of explaining can penetrate her level of understanding. And so it is with us. Our mortal minds are limited, but the Lord is limitless in his understanding. How tedious it must become when we continue to question what we cannot comprehend. Many of God's commandments are clearly seen as being worthy of our obedience, but often the consequences from our actions are not immediately visible, and our obedience requires some faith. Elder Neil A. Maxwell has said, "Obedience, among other things, provides us with a grace period. During this period, we go forward out of a sense of duty, doing what we should do before we have all the answers as to why." Many of us wish we could have counsel with the Lord concerning situations in our own lives. What we sometimes fail to realize is that we really can. We have been given personalized counsel in the form of a perfect roadmap detailed specifically for us in ancient scripture and modern day revelation. Just tune in to General Conference in a couple of weeks. You will be astounded at the solutions to your problems that you will hear from the Lord's chosen leaders. We've also been given the ultimate visual aid. The Savior's life is the perfect example for us to follow. As a teacher, I am constantly amazed at the variety of methods that our Heavenly Father has used to instruct His children. How well He understands that each one of us learns in different ways. And if our footsteps falter, we again have been given divinely directed instructions. Because of the atonement and through our own repentance, we are welcomed back to the pathway of righteousness. And tucked inside our own personal roadmap, we have been given a promise concerning our willingness to follow the commandments of the Lord. We are told that the Lord is bound when we do what He says. And then we've been given a caution. When we do not what He says, we have no promise. It's pretty clear, isn't it? We cannot afford to be selectively obedient. We need only to be steadfastly obedient. In the Doctrine and Covenants, we are told, when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. If we are willing to put our trust in the Lord and keep His commandments, we have been promised that we will be blessed. The blessing might not come in the form of straight A's, having a date every Friday night, or even inheriting a lot of money. But we will grow in capacity, experiencing joy along the way, as we keep more and more of the commandments and eventually become prepared for a celestial existence. We must understand that God is not arbitrary. He is not anxious to punish His unruly children or to burden them with unnecessary commandments. Rather, He is a loving parent who wants His children to avoid the negative consequences of breaking eternal laws. He wants them to receive the promised blessings of complying with righteous principles. The catch in all of this is our level of obedience. That determines the outcome. Whether we are studying music or microbiology, we all know that success hinges on how thoroughly we study or how hard we practice. Does it really surprise us that God operates in this cause and effect manner when all around us we see the results that come from following natural law? Perhaps not natural laws were given to us as an example to follow. Douglas Smoot, Dean of the College of Engineering and Technology, explains, "It is impossible to leap from the top of a building and disobey the law of gravity. Placing one's finger in an electrical outlet will cause an electrical flow through a person's body irrespective of intent. Fundamental laws of nature cannot be disobeyed." I thought about Dean Smoot's comments and how we as humans constantly try to push the laws of nature as well as the laws of God. When I read about what happened to a young man a few days ago who was celebrating his 25th birthday at a Salt Lake hotel. He and his friends had been drinking and were probably not thinking clearly when the boy celebrating the birthday decided to jump from one 10th floor balcony to another. He made the first leap, but not the second. "We were just out having a good time," said his friend. "But now I realize how quickly life can be taken away." I use this tragic story to illustrate what happens when our judgment is impaired and we refuse to obey the laws God has given us, both physical and spiritual. In this case, the consequence of leaping from one balcony to the other, that high up, seems pretty obvious to me. But there will be times when we feel physically or spiritually impaired and will not realize what could happen if we choose to disobey, or if we walk too close to the edge of disobedience. Why is it that we sometimes question, as Molly did, the preliminary warning or instruction given to us to help avoid that crucial brush with something that could cause us harm? If only we could realize that momentary pleasures we might feel at the time by an act of disobedience can never equal the feelings of peace and happiness that result from obedience. Joseph Smith assured us, "As God has designed our happiness and the happiness of all his creatures, he never has, he never will institute an ordinance or give a commandment to his people that is not calculated in its nature to promote that happiness which he has designed." Sometimes we are tempted to test the law, as Molly did, and even question the wisdom of the lawgiver. We may feel that we find freedom in disobedience as we dash across life's highway with our eyes closed. But as Elder Boyd K. Packer has said, "Obedience, that which God will never take by force, he will accept when freely given. And he will return to you freedom that you can hardly dream of, the freedom to feel and to know, the freedom to do and the freedom to be, at least 1,000-fold more than we offer him." Strangely enough, Elder Packer continues, the key to freedom is obedience. That we may find fulfillment and joy through obedience, that we may see the relationship between happiness and obedience, that we may understand that we are exercising our free agency in the most effective way by choosing to be obedient to all that God has outlined on God's roadmap leading to eternal destiny, is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.